Thank you once again for the invitation to come and share with you in your service here in Wetaskiwin. Your pastor has introduced a series of messages about I like giving. And he has asked me to share with you today about the wonderful opportunities we have to give our words as an encouragement. And as a way of introducing our thoughts today, I've asked if we could just look at a little video about giving. I like giving, and I hope it's the one about laughter. We'll see what comes.
Our next guest is performed on Comedy Central's Premium Blend.
He made his first appearance on The Tonight Show from Montreal Comedy Festival.
You've seen him on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
That wasn't a big break. The big break was at a club. And right before I got on stage, I had a change in mindset about comedy. Normally when a comedian gets on stage, he wants to get laughs from people. And I felt a little shift take place, where I felt like I was to go up there and give them an opportunity to laugh. Now I'm not looking to take, I'm looking for an opportunity to give. This changed everything.
My name is Michael Jr., I'm gonna do some jokes.
And ultrasounds come in color now, which is ridiculous, I know it's a black baby.
It better be a black baby.
I leave the club that night, and there's all these people giving me hugs and high fives, telling me their favorite jokes. Then I look across the street, and I saw a homeless guy. And I thought to myself, what about him? Most comedy, most jokes are set up.
My son, 4 years old, looks at me out of nowhere, and he says, Dad, I want to be a doctor. I was like, yes, yes.
And then a punchline.
Then he said, or a dinosaur.
I understand that me doing comedy and doing all of these TV shows and making all these people laugh is really just a setup. My punchline is to make laughter commonplace in uncommon places. We go to Montrose, Colorado, a place called the Dolphin House. They take care of children who have been abused by their parents. And this grandmother explains to me that her grandson is being abused by his mom. He's so afraid of his mom that everywhere he goes, he wears a Spider-Man costume. So I get on stage, sitting right up front, Spider-Man. I start doing comedy. People start laughing, slowly but surely. Probably about 25 minutes into it, I hear a voice. And the voice says, my name is Ronan. And this little boy pulls off his mask. And it was one of the most powerful moments in my entire comedy career. Here's the deal. If we could just stop asking the question, what could I get for myself? And start asking the question, what can I give from myself? I think people would learn that you don't have to be a comedian to deliver a punchline.
It's really what I want to get across to people. And I think I just did. I looked at the camera again. I don't know if I was supposed to do that.
Emphasis. Anything else you can think of?
Yeah, I'm going to say it right now. You've been set up. You in the setup. Be the punchline.
There's words that you can say that will make a difference in someone's life. When a person becomes aware of the powerful effect their words can have on others, then they'll know they always have something they can give. Now we're reflecting Lent and Advent together, and when I think of Advent, I think of the little drummer boy who wanted to give something to the newborn king, but he was so poor, what can I give him? And then he says, I'll play my drum for him. That's what I'll do. And so he played the best he could on his drum. And his gift was accepted because it says the child smiled at him. And he felt, yeah, he communicated. And his gift was accepted. You know, gifts don't have to cost money. It's just a matter of doing something and considering the other person. That's why I like that little clip about the comedian. He learned something about giving people an opportunity to laugh. That's changed his outlook on life. Some of the best gifts that you can ever give are just the words that come out of your mouth. And there's great power in your words. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can destroy and you can build up with what you say." Now, in James chapter 3, it's not my text, it's just a long part of scripture I'm going to read. My text is back in the Gospels. But first of all, I want to read from James chapter 3 about the power of the tongue. And we're talking about the effect of our words. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." Well, we've had some examples of that in Alberta, haven't we? And just an unattended campfire can cause tremendous havoc when it gets away. Well, James says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things not ought to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." And then just a couple verses at the end of chapter 3. "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." A harvest of righteousness. There is something that produces at the end. And just while I'm at James chapter 5, in my Bible, it's on the same page, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Maybe you learned it as the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It works. It has an effect. Things happen when you utter that prayer before God. Now there's, before I also get to my text, some words from Proverbs, just to set the stage here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And verse 14, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin. The mouth of the fool. And Proverbs 10, verse 19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous feed. People can kind of live off of what you say. It sustains life. But fools die for lack of sense. The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Florence Latour, who is a well-known public speaker, tells of the time when she was visiting a church, and without notice, the pastor noticed that she was in the congregation and this is this famous speaker. We'll just call her up to say a few words of greeting. And then he had this brainwave as he was inviting her up, and as she was walking down the aisle to the front, he says, well, you know, perhaps she could just give our children's sermon today, our little message to the children. So I invite all the children to come to the front, and Florence Latour is going to have a word with you. And her mind went completely blank. She was a gifted speaker, but she was not accustomed to talking to children. And here all the kids were there, and she was there, and what is she going to say? And she says, I just prayed, God, help me, give me something to say. But in that moment, the only thing that would come to her mind was a verse that she had learned in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. And so this went through her mind, and I'll just read it for you from the King James Version, because that's the way she learned it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. This is the only thing that came to her mind. And she says, I can't share that with the children. They won't understand a word that I'm saying. But there she was, and there the children were. So she just said, well, I have a verse that I'm going to share with you from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that may administer grace unto the hearers. Then she asked the children, do you know what that means? No. She says, well, let's just unpackage it a little bit, and maybe we can understand it a little bit. It says, out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of... What comes out of your mouth? Well, words. Things that you say. Good. That's what he's talking about. It's the words that you say. Now, what do you think corrupt communication is? Well, they thought about that and they said, well, bad words. And then she did something that she shouldn't have done. She says, well, what would bad words be? And she got an education. She didn't know these kids knew all those words. And here they were in church sharing what the bad words were. And she thought, oh, I won't do that again. But they knew what the bad words were. And they knew what the nasty things were to say. And the cruel things. And the mean things. And the things that hurt. So those things should not be coming out of your mouth. And then she kind of talked about this word, let. The verse says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let. What does that mean? It means you have to give yourself permission to speak. And that's when you think about it, that's a very important little word, let. There's a gate on the mouth, and it is there. People say, I can't help it. But they can help it. They can help it. I worked with a guy who had a reputation of a very foul mouth. And I drove school bus for him. So after we came back to the yard every morning, we parked the bus, go in and have coffee. And different ones asked me, how can you visit with him? Like, his language is just peel the paint off the barn. And I says, no, it's not bad. And they said, really? I said, no, I don't see anything unusual. But one day, we're sitting there having coffee, and one of his friends came in to join us. And the atmosphere changed immediately. This fellow who had been kind of civil with me opened the floodgates, and I heard the language. Ooh. But, you know, all the time these days he had coffee with me and talk. He didn't have to say those words. But when it was, he felt he had to or appropriate, there they were there. They come out. It taught me that, hey, he can control it. He really can. He said he can't, but there is a gate on the mouth. But we recognize that things inside do come out. Anyways, Florence Latour was talking to the children at the front of the church. And they kind of got to this point where you don't want to be saying the bad words, the nasty stuff. But the verse has a big but in there. But only the good. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Let out the good words. You can do it. You think them sometimes and say, well, I can't say that. Yes, you can. Let out the good words. People need to hear them. Words that edify. What does that mean? Well, somehow one of the children knew that edify meant to build up. A pretty smart kid. He said, well, it means building up. And she says, yes. And one of the other kids, well, just like building with blocks? Yeah, you know, you take a block and you put one on top of another and you build it up. That's how you make buildings. That's how you do things. You put things together. And the word, the good word that you speak, can build the other person up, help establish something there, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And again, she asked the question, what does that mean? Well, someone in the group of children knew that grace is God's unmerited favor. She'd learned that somewhere. God's unmerited favor. So she said, well, what does that mean? What is God's unmerited favor? Well, Someone had the idea, well, it means giving gifts that you don't deserve. And yes, now these children were understanding that verse. You don't let the bad stuff come out of your mouth, but you give gifts to people that they don't deserve. And every word out of your mouth should become as a gift to someone else. Well, when she was almost finished her little talk with the children, one little girl stuck up her hand and she says, "What she means is that our words should be a little silver box with a bow on top." That was her idea of a gift. And Florence LaTower grabbed that. And that changed her life. And she learned something there in explaining that verse with the children. She says, "Yes, I like that picture. Like the words that come out of our mouth should be as little building blocks. And that everyone could be just a silver box with a bow on top. Like a nice little present." And when you share an encouraging word with someone else, that's what it is. It's a gift to them. Maybe they don't deserve it. That's grace. Does it help them? Absolutely. They'll never forget it. You look back in your life, and there's someone who just said a word, just in passing. They went by and said, "My, you do good at that." And you, "Where'd that come from?" And you think back, and boy, it's those words that keep you going, that help you make good decisions. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." Sustain with a word him who is weary. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, health to the body." Now compare that with verse 27 in that chapter. It says, "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." Just like James was talking about in James chapter 3, a scorching fire. So your words can be health to the body. They can sustain somebody, or you can cut them apart. It's amazing how many coaches out there think that the only way they can inspire a team or get them going is to cuss them out. And, you know, just rake them over the coals. Nice when you get a coach that comes and say, "Hey guys, you can do it. Let's pull together." Come on. You know, the word of encouragement. Boy, that's much more powerful than being cut down. Proverbs 25:11. Here's one to mark. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." The right word at the right time, what a treasure. And you have the ability of giving those gifts to those around you. They'll treasure them all their life. Your grandchildren, your children, when they hear the right word at the right time, they never forget it. The work that Mother Teresa began is known around the world. There are over 500 centers in 120 countries whose purpose is to care for those forgotten by society and to serve them with actions of love. After a visit to North America, Mother Teresa once observed that she had never seen such an abundance of material things, but she had also never seen such a poverty of the spirit, of loneliness, of being unwanted. Talked about the unwanted in Calcutta. She saw that in North America. In her eyes, the spiritual poverty was worse than the physical poverty. There is a despair in our society that many times we're not aware of. People are empty, they're feeling unwanted, they're feeling disconnected, they're feeling there's no hope. Mother Teresa started her mission by helping one woman who was dying in the streets. Unable to find anyone to help this woman, she brought her into her own home and stayed with her until she died. It was then she made the choice to dedicate her life to helping the poorest of the poor to live and to die with dignity, respect, and love. When asked how she maintained her hope surrounded by an overwhelming number of sick and dying people, this was her response. They die one at a time, so I save them one at a time. Each day, each one of us receives a calling to reach out and help others. And this is her response. We have a choice to help or not to help. In our lives, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. Do small things with great love, one thing at a time. You may think that giving an encouraging word to someone is a very small thing to do. But you have no idea of the effect of those words. What a difference it makes in the life. And do not despair over the bad words which you have said. Yes, they're gone, and you can't bring them back. And the bad part is our words just reveal what's in our hearts. Jesus said it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. And boy, sometimes we just didn't realize what was in our heart. But the truth is we are sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we discover from our unguarded words that our heart is desperately wicked, and we don't even know ourselves. But do not despair. Just recognize you need a Savior. God is calling us in this time of repentance to confess our sins, to repent and be cleansed, renewed. Make this your prayer. This is the prayer of David when he realized he was a sinner. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." Yes. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have right now everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. This is what God wants for us. We recognize we need him, which come confess our sins, say, Lord, help me. I want to do what is right. And may God fill your mouth with good things and be a blessing to other people. May God bless his word to your hearts. And the worship team comes to lead us in a closing song.